Hello, it's a Saturday, but it's time for another 5 and 10. I've got to head to D.C. tomorrow, so I may not be able to get one of these out over the next couple of days. So that's why I'm doing maybe a couple over the weekend here, just to keep you satiated. Before I get started, please don't forget to like this video and follow my Rumble channel or wherever that you're listening to this podcast. All the reasons that everybody always says about liking and sharing and giving those 5-star ratings, all those things do really help, so please do that. All right, here we go. Number one, a liberal college town in Idaho is paying $300,000 to three Christian churchgoers who sued the city after being arrested for not wearing masks at an outside service during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Coincidentally, the name of that town is Moscow. Moscow, Idaho. Anyway, the city of Moscow announced this week that it would settle a lawsuit brought by Gabriel Wrench and Sean and Rachel Bonnet, who brought a case against the city in March of 2021. Now, in that suit, they alleged that their rights under the First and Fourth Amendments were violated when they were arrested at an outdoor psalm sing conducted by leaders from their church. We think of Idaho as being a far more liberty-loving state. But as is the case in so many of these small cities with large universities, they are plagued by far-left leadership and local governance. Moscow is the home of the University of Idaho and is a town of only about 25,000 people, not counting the student population. Wrench told Fox News, "I'm in a conservative state, but I live in a liberal town, and the liberals had no problem arresting me for practicing my religious rights and my constitutional rights. But my Republican governor also didn't defend me. If you look at what's going on in Canada, I think America's 10 years or at the most 20 years behind Canada if we don't make significant changes." Now, under the terms of the settlement agreement, the city will pay a total settlement amount of $300,000, and all claims against the city and the named city employees will be dismissed with prejudice along with the release of all liability. Douglas Wilson, the senior pastor of Christ Church, he told Fox News that his family still remains in a legal battle with city authorities since his son and his two grandsons were hit with misdemeanor charges for protesting those arrests by placing stickers on city utility poles that were already covered with many other stickers for other types of events. In March of 2021, Wilson's grandsons, who were then 18 and 14 at the time, slapped the poles with stickers that depicted a hammer and sickle and were emblazoned with the phrase, "Soviet Moscow, enforced because we care." That pastor is raising his kids and grandkids correctly. Number two, according to the New York Times, Google is testing a product that uses artificial intelligence technology to produce news stories, pitching it to news organizations including the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal's owner, News Corp, who also owns Fox News. And according to three people familiar with the matter, this tool, known internally by the working title Genesis, can take in information, details of current events, for example, and then generate news content. Now, my first thought upon reading this was, when does the mainstream media's journalist strike begin? I mean, newspapers are already dying. The ones still hanging on have already slashed their newsroom labor force by hundreds of thousands of journalists nationwide. Unbelievably, the newspaper in America's largest city, the New York Times, just announced last week that it was going to disband its sports department. Can you believe that? I suppose if they can hang on just a little while longer by having AI write all of their articles and then using just maybe a small cadre of editors to clean them up, then what's left for newspaper writers? How many actual writers will they need? How long before AI can perform the work of even investigative journalists? I've personally already envisioned that the most vulnerable job to AI is law firms, paralegals, who do most of the hard work of writing those long court motions and such. A single clerk can now just fill in the pertinent details, and AI can then search all the related and needed case rulings and references, do all of that in just 5 seconds, and then the attorney just needs to proofread it. Probably 90% of the content produced by the New York Times can also be generated by AI, replacing millions of dollars in annual labor costs. Like the Hollywood writers and actors strikes, I ask again, how long before the MSM journos go on strike? Number three, this one is just frickin' unbelievable. This is the quintessential example of the upside-down world in which we now live. The New York Police Department is being forced to pay out $13.7 million to George Floyd rioters for violating their rights. Wait, what? Let me read that to you again, slowly. The New York Police Department is being forced to pay out $13.7 million to George Floyd rioters for having their rights violated during those protests in 2020. This comes from the Post-Millennial. Under the terms of the settlement, the city would pay around $10,000 to each of the 1,380 people who were arrested and or subjected to force by the New York Police Department officers during those riots in Manhattan and Brooklyn. While a number of those involved in this class action lawsuit had been arrested, many of these were not, and they simply claimed that they had had the ability to exercise their First Amendment rights impeded by New York City's police officers. Many of these protesters, they set police cars ablaze, they vandalized precinct houses, they threw rocks, bricks, bottles at officers, they stabbed, punched, bit officers, and hurled Molotov cocktails at officers. But the lead attorney for those plaintiffs says that this is about people in New York City being able to protest, being able to be in the streets, being able to say what they think about the government, and to do it without being afraid that they're going to be physically hurt. You probably know that I'm thinking about January 6th right now, don't you? Anyway, this isn't a case of clown world. This is the inmates running the asylum in New York City. So my advice to anybody with any ability to do so, get out of New York City while you still can. Number four, CNN posted a story about mass shootings in major U.S. metropolitan areas in which the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA, claimed that mass shootings in major metro areas in the United States disproportionately affect Black people, and structural racism may play a role. The study found that in areas with higher Black populations, mass shootings are likelier to occur compared to communities with higher white populations. There are also more Black people injured and killed when mass shootings take place, the findings say. Now, over and over again in this article, as I read it, they point out that the Blacks are the disproportionate victims in these cities, but never do these articles mention a single time, or the study mention a single time, or address who is actually doing the shootings. More oddly, the stated purpose of the study is to discover how, and I quote, listen to this, this is something that could be critical to reducing mass shootings and the effect of racial disparities by creating a framework in which surgeons can combat gun violence. Surgeons combating gun violence. I don't even know what that means. But here's the inconvenient truth. This is more the result of structural Democrat Party governance in those big cities than it is a structural racism. Blacks shooting Blacks, Democrats shooting Democrats, that's the problem. Solve that problem, or at least bring it down to the averages of the other races in other parts of the country, and America then has one of the lowest gun homicide rates in the world. And that's by the actual numbers as published by the FBI. Number five, Maj Toure, the founder of Black Guns Matter, asked yesterday on his Twitter page, "Who that follows me is not a member of the Libertarian Party? If so, why not?" Well, as I responded, that would require a very long explanation indeed. And I've been a small L libertarian for over two decades. I added that it's sufficient for me to say, for now, that I'm just not much of a party kind of guy. And then I quoted George Washington in my tweeted response. This was from Washington's farewell address. He said, "Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of parties generally." I've previously written extensively on why I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, and I won't get into all of that now. But I've attended many LP meetings and functions and also been invited to speak before quite a few Libertarian Party local chapters around the country. I'll synopsize my hesitancy to join the party thusly. In the world in which we currently live, there are only two teams that are actually in the game, the Democrats and the Republicans. They control the rules of the game and basically own the stadium where the game is played. I have long advocated that the Libertarian Party needs to become more of a disruptive organization rather than a party, and then focus its efforts on running their people, their candidates, in either the GOP or Democratic primaries. Make deals. Trade their support for concessions from candidates in closely contested areas and closely contested races. And otherwise, just primary the hell out of those GOP and Democratic candidates. Then maybe one day they can become a force to be reckoned with. But look, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, and then previously Justin Amash and Gary Johnson, they all showed us that they can be small government, constitutional libertarians with an R after their name, and also actually be in the game, in the show, the big show, and make measurable impacts as well. We need more like them in that game, and we need those quickly. But for me, and what I have observed, even with the Libertarian Party, most of those still see governance through a party over principle prism, and I'm just not into that, including, as I said, far too many of people that I have talked to, interviewed with, and met in the LP. So that's just not the game that I'm willing to play. I'm going to heed George Washington's warning instead. All right, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I do not put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, so please come on over there and test the waters. But if you can, for as little as $5 a month, you can help me with my continued investigations into January 6th related matters, as well as the overall weaponization of government against the American people. Simply go to tpc4usa.com. That's TPC, the number 4usa.com. Or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for at TPC4USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same exact handle, at TPC4USA. Thanks so much, and I hope to see you again very soon with another 5 and 10.